Welcome, welcome all to the March 9th, 2006 session of the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. My name is Cheryl Bradley. I'm your moderator for today. I'd like to welcome our audience here at Erickson, as well as our TV audience. Just one little bit of housekeeping. The cost to attend the meeting is $8, whether you choose to eat or not, and so could you place that in the basket on your table? Only 50 cents of this goes back to the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs, and since we're a grassroots, member-driven, and member-supported organization, we rely on your donations to keep us going. So we accept your donations all year round, and we greatly appreciate them. I'd like to acknowledge our partners today, Shaw TV, the University of Lethbridge, Erickson's Restaurant, and the Lethbridge Herald. The format of the meeting is about a 25 to 30 minute presentation, 30 minutes for lunch, and then we'll have a 30 minute question and answer period. I'd like to introduce our speakers today. They'll be talking on biogas technology, opportunities and challenges in Southern Alberta. Thane Hurlburt is president of ECB North America Incorporated, a Southern Alberta company focusing on development of integrated waste management systems. Thane was born in Lethbridge and currently lives in Fort McLeod. He has deep roots in the agricultural community in Southern Alberta. Stefan Michalski is an industrial engineer from Germany and has specialized in project management of biogas and biodiesel plants in Europe and Asia for the past 15 years. And since moving to Southern Alberta 2 years ago, he's applied his knowledge and experience towards developing bioenergy in Canada. Please join me in welcoming our presenters.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you for that great introduction. I'm usually quite long-winded, so if it sounds like I'm rushing through, it's probably because down here where you can't see, Cheryl's doing this to me to make sure that I keep the pace up. So what we want to talk about today is just what it says, biogas technology, the opportunities and challenges in Southern Alberta. And we'll try and go through this pretty quickly. That's too quick. Yeah. the points we'd like to cover is what is biogas, the organic resources for biogas production, the process, quality and use of biogas, our closed-loop concept, benefits of biogas. We'll cover that in the first section, then we'll get into opportunities and challenges, and we'll cover off renewable energy in Alberta, bioenergy biogas study, the Alberta SWOT analysis, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, main challenges, legal framework, public education, drivers to success, and Alberta's biogas potential. We'll get a little bit into economics. Stefan will take over the economics portion. He'll talk about economics in general, then he'll talk a little bit about biogas in the industry in Germany, and then he'll talk about some Alberta economics, the key economic parameters, and Alberta's biogas projects as they are today. So what is biogas? The picture at the top pretty well explains it. There's the back end of a cow. There's stuff that comes out of the back end of a cow. The little bacteria eat it and release methane gas and carbon dioxide. That's basically what it is. So it's a natural process that's formed in high concentrations of wet organic matter through the activity of a complex consortium of bacteria in the absence of dissolved oxygen. Okay, so that's Stefan's the engineer. You can tell he wrote that paragraph. Basically, we take manure and other substances, put them in an oxygen-free atmosphere, collect and gather the gas from them, and when we're done, we have a organic fertilizer. It's exactly the same as composting, but we can achieve the composting in 15 to 20 days, as opposed to 90 to 120 days for composting. And the big difference is we contain all the gas and use it without releasing the methane into the atmosphere. So there's different types of bacteria: the hydrolytic fermentative bacteria, which is the hydrolysis process, acid-forming bacteria, and then methane-forming bacteria. They all work together, the three phases. Anaerobic digestion occurs at different levels, and anaerobic meaning in without the presence of oxygen. Psychrophilic, which is less than 20 degrees, mesophilic 35 to 40 degrees Celsius, and thermophilic 50 to 60. There are lots of natural biogas processes happening around us all the time, in the bottom sediments of lakes, ponds, swamps, and in the intestines of animals. So here's some of the things, some of the organic resources for biogas production to give you an idea. Pig manure, dairy, feedlot, straw, and some of the different levels of biogas yield from them. As you can see, some of the manures have the lowest yield, and when we get right down to the bottom, some of the slaughterhouse wastes and food wastes have extremely high yields. So when you look at some of the potential products, most of them are all organic waste products that are now either spread on fields as fertilizer, existing, or going to landfills. And hence, when there's enough in a landfill, then they go and drill a pipe in the ground and start collecting methane out of the landfill gases. So the level of biogas production depends on the total solid content, the TS, which is approximately in the middle column. And of that total solid content, there's a specific volatile solid content, which is different for the different materials. And the volatile solids just mean that's the solid material that can produce, effectively can produce the gas. So when we move on a little bit to biogas technology, this is a diagram that we've borrowed from the Alberta Research Council. It gives you a pretty good idea on the waste streams, the animal, the crop residue, or any parts thereof, going to anaerobic digestion and going to biogas that can be converted to energy. After it comes out of the anaerobic digester, it can be split off into solid liquid fractions, and it can be split back up to reusable water and organic fertilizer in a dry form, if that's the way it's wished. So, you know, number one, there's the pretreatment, collecting, crushing and storing and mixing of the product, anaerobic digestion through the three steps. Then when the gas is produced, there's gas cleaning, there's a washing, there's an H2S cleaning, safety flaring, energy conversions, in other words, burning it and turning it into electrical and thermal energy, and then the after-treatment, separation, storage, and composting. Quality and uses of biogas. So what do you use this, what can you use this for? We'll talk a little bit about the quality. That's an average breakdown of the different, what makes up biogas, carbon, methane, 40 to 75%. Averages about 65, carbon dioxide, therefore averages about 35%, and there's trace amounts of different gases, water vapor, nitrogen, oxygen, hydrogen, ammonia, hydrogen sulfide, we've got sulfate on there, but it's hydrogen sulfide, and the different calorific values of those. So in China, they've used biogas for direct cooking for well over 100 years, direct combustion to supply heat. As we burn natural gas to create heat in our furnaces or heat hot water, they can use biogas for these same sources. Fuel for energy production with fuel cells, that's a very good future development of biogas. Because of the methane content of biogas, it can go a long ways into powering fuel cells, and we've all heard about that as the development of fuel cells is continuing rapidly. Fuel for combined heat and power plants, which is what we're proposing for the Lethbridge area, which is basically huge gas engines running electrical generators, and we generate electrical energy and then gather all the waste heat from the engines and also have the ability to sell the thermal energy. So in Sweden, they, as you can see, the buses there, they use biogas. They have a huge biogas association and network in Sweden, and they use it for a lot of the city buses and taxis, and et cetera. So we talk about a closed-loop concept. Basically, one man's waste is another man's treasure. With our biogas plant off to the left there, as we feed the organic resources in, we can send the organic fertilizer out. for plant cultivation. Perhaps, for example, in southern Alberta, there's a good opportunity to use that for canola that in turn can be put through a biodiesel plant and converted to diesel fuel, and the leftover product from that, the cake, the canola cake or the bruised rapeseed, can be fed to livestock, which of course creates more organic resources for the biogas, and everything going to a combined heat and power system and able to get all of these different things out to consumers. So it's an integral part of a agro-eco-industrial cluster to bring together all the things that are necessary. So biogas technology benefits environmentally. Less emissions of odorous substances. So we talk about, as you saw the slides before, we looked at some of the manure, and the manure being a lower gas content than some of the other products, why would you use manure? Well, number one, most of us in rural areas know what it's like when an agricultural operation is spreading manure on their land. The stench can be pretty overwhelming. A lot of places in Europe, they use biogas plants not only to create renewable energy, but also to get rid of some of the odors. And that is a big help. So when this product goes back on the land, it is a lot less odorous. And I mean, put a percentage on that. We've seen different reports, you know, 75% less, 95% less odors. But I mean, odor is something that's different to every person. So as far as the percentage goes, it definitely cuts the odor down. So the destruction of weed seeds, germs and pathogens because of the 55 degrees Celsius thermophilic that we're proposing for Lethbridge, that takes care of a huge number of pathogens. We have a high temperature, high pressure hydrolysis system going in and proposing to put animal byproducts through that, leftover from packing plants, potentially some of the animals that are being buried today, or even some of the rendered product that can no longer go into the system that has to be landfilled. There's all sorts of potentials there. That hydrolysis system would be at a lot higher temperature and pressure, and they're looking at whether that temperature and pressure can actually denature prions in VSE. There's no scientific evidence to prove that yet, but there's scientific theories abound that we get into that it's a very good process. We have a less over-acidification of soils with the product when we put it on, less groundwater contamination, reduction of greenhouse gas emissions of CO2, CH4, N2O. So these are all reduced because we capture most of these products. In benefits for agriculture, there's an increased fertilizer value because we mix other products with it. So when we take it back to the farm to use for to enhance crop growth, it has a higher fertilizer value in it. It's a homogenized product, which is the regular structure and a smaller particle size. So the bacteria will reduce the overall particle size a little bit smaller, and therefore the plants can uptake that quite a bit quicker. The plant roots can take nutrients faster because of the types of the products. It has a more narrow carbon-nitrogen ratio and a neutral pH value, which comes back through to help with the groundwater contamination, the over-acidification of soils, and a more efficient use of the nitrogen. The scientists can really get into a long-winded display on what the nitrogen does and how it changes, but it is a lot more efficient. So for the community, what can the biogas industry do, or in the community, the creation of new jobs in innovative technology in rural areas, the potential for public-private partnerships, economic impact, capital investment multiplier. When we look at $12, $14, $16 million that could potentially have $30 million plus effect on the county and the city of Lethbridge on an annual basis. The diversion of organic waste from landfills. There was one time that an official from the city of Lethbridge told us about 25% of the landfill here at the city landfill is grass clippings from within the city. Grass clippings are a wonderful product to feed through a biogas plant. So there's all sorts of things you can look at there, and all sorts of other products that go into landfills that could be used. So enhancing the green profile of the regions. Of course, southern Alberta is gaining quite a huge green profile now with the wind energy and what's happening with that. So renewable energy in Alberta, the provincial target in Alberta is to increase the use of renewable and alternative energy, not by 3.5, but to 3.5% of the entire energy by 2008. And that target is basically already met because of the wind. Government-sponsored organization to promote bioproducts, bioenergy, BioAlberta, Bioproducts Alberta. They're doing their best to promote as much of these bioproducts as they can. Provincial government announced it will cover 90% of its electricity needs with green power. So they've committed for the power that the provincial government needs to buy. They want to get that to 90% green power. Renewable energy sources have increased 600% in Alberta over the last 5 years. Development of 600 megawatts of new renewable power in Alberta between 2003 and 2006. And, of course, we see that in southern Alberta in Finch Creek and Fort McLeod with all the new wind farms. $700 million investment in renewable energy in Alberta between 96 and 2006. So there's a huge investment going into this province, and it seems a little ironic that the big energy province in the country is also making the largest investments in renewable energy. So we can be proud of that. Bioenergy biogas study. 2004 strategic feasibility study for Alberta Science and Research Authority. Now, this is a 700-page study. Stefan and I have kind of agreed that we're in the wrong end of this thing. We should be getting paid to do studies instead of trying to take money out of our own pocket to develop projects, because there is an abundance of money for studies and research. And that can be funded by AARI, Alberta Agriculture Research Institute, Alberta Environment Research Institute, Alberta Forestry Research Institute, Alberta Environment, Agriculture, AVAC, etc. There's a multitude of agencies out there that can help fund research. So bioenergy from waste, in particular anaerobic digestion, has the highest overall ranking at the end of this study that the provincial government commissioned. It's aligned with all the provincial strategies. It has the environmental effects that they wish to achieve, the market potential, the economic value of the products, the market development potential, the implementation and commercial support. They're all working on it. So the overall result is that biogas has been identified as the bioenergy with the biggest potential for southern Alberta. So now we discuss a little bit about some of the information that's in that 700-page study, and this is the Alberta SWOT analysis is what they call it, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Now, when we go back to the deal about consulting, this is a 700-page study performed by Levelton Consultants, S&T Consultants, Dr. Sadler, Dr. Timberg, some of the names that are on it, all paid for by the group of government funding agencies that we talked about before, to basically come out with 98% information that we already have. Oh, 100%. Oh, you say, oh. So, what are the strengths? Business-friendly investment climate, reputation for innovativeness and entrepreneurship, most deregulated electrical industry in Canada, provincial targets on climate change, strong research and technology development capabilities. Weaknesses, very limited biogas industrial base to build on. The centralized demand for energy, two-thirds in Edmonton and Calgary, makes it a little difficult. No specific government programs for bioenergy, and connection to the grid, very expensive. It's getting better, but it's still extremely expensive. What are our opportunities? Growing demand for electricity, 400 megawatts a year, growing environmental concern, the intensive livestock operations and disposal of manures, provincial target to increase electricity generated from renewable sources. That's a provincial target. Decline of capital costs as market grows and develops. Distributed energy systems may reduce investment in new transmission facilities. So threats, fossil fuels are cheaper than biogas, and the infrastructure is already in place. So that's a threat. Existing participants in the market. Value of greenhouse gas credits are subject to political changes. So the main challenges are lack of coordination and support on an administrative and legislative level, and a lack of a legal framework. And they're all working desperately trying to bring this together, but they all have their own agendas, and it seems like every government agency is working on their own little corner of biogas and bioenergy. The technical is the linkage to the grid is a main challenge to get that easier. And biogas is not a state-of-the-art technology. This is old technology that's been around for decades, and it's not as interesting for them to spend a bunch of money on research on. And then the flip side is you shouldn't spend a bunch of money on research, because all you got to do is go on the internet for 2 hours and find all the information out on the European sites as much as you want. But if you're a consultant, you can do that and sell it to the government. So information and training, you know, public education, similar to this forum today, to try and explain a little bit more about the technology and how it works. Plant operation is a big key factor. We need plant operators with some European experience. So financial, no economies of scale. In other words, we can't build 100, 200, 400 megawatt biogas plants. It's just impossible to gather that many organic resources in one place. So you have to look at smaller facilities spread throughout. No price for external costs. External costs meaning what price do we put on burning fossil fuels? What price do we put on that in polluting our air? What price is the healthcare costs for the burning of those fossil fuels? They're cheap. That's the cost for saving money. So no long-term government incentives at this point. Consumers are prepared to choose and pay more for bioenergy. Maybe there's a few. Maybe they'll come. Legal framework. We need to apply county and city for development permits. Local power distribution company for access to the grid. AEUB for power generation and transmission of high-pressure biogas. Alberta Environment or Natural Resources and or Natural NRCB for waste management and manure processing. Agriculture for transportation of low-pressure biogas. CFIA if there's any specific risk materials involved. And each one of these has their complete own application process. So it's definitely not a one-stop shop approach. So public education, the public perception of handling a manure is something that's dirty and smelly, but anaerobic digestion is storing and working with all of this in totally sealed containments. Handling a biogas must be dangerous, but it is no different than any natural gas facility that we have. Emissions will cause public safety issues. Emissions of burning clean biogas are comparable to burning natural gas. And it's not noticed as a renewable or green energy. But it is a renewable and green energy. It does contribute to the reduction of greenhouse gases. And if there's one thing that's renewable, manure is pretty renewable. Land application of digested sludge will be harmful to the environment. All the feedstock that is potentially going into a biogas plant is land applied today in a raw and untreated form, and sometimes without public notice. So there's not a great deal of experience with biogas plants in Canadian communities. So public perception of biogas plants is causing significant resistance in the not in my backyard syndrome. So our opportunities and challenges, bringing the technologies, innovations, resources, processes, and industries all together in a true public-private partnership, governments, communities, industries, and partnership and integration are the of mostly different interests need to come together. So biogas potential, there's just under 54,000 farms in Alberta, average 970 acres, 2001 census. Alberta, of course, is the largest beef-producing province in Canada, 5.7 million head of cattle and calf inventories in 2004. Largest food processing facilities, greater than 50% of the beef processing. Additional 180,000 head of dairy, 1.2 million head of hogs, 7.8 million head of poultry. In the county alone, 13.8 million cubic meters of livestock manure in the county of Lethbridge. The plant that we're proposing that some people have heard about in the news uses about 35,000 cubic meters out of 13.8 million. So theoretically, we could have 100 to 150 large-scale plants. Probably 20 to 30 are only the real economic possibilities. I'm going to turn this over to Stefan Michelski right now, and he'll talk a little bit about the economics and I think mostly about some of the situations in Germany. Stefan?
Yeah. Thank you, Thane. you have been really generous. You left me with 2 minutes, so might be a little bit difficult today. I apologize. My voice is probably not really, it's probably going up and down. I'm fighting with a cold. I'm here for 2 years, but I'm still not used to the plus 10, minus 10 ups and downs within 2 days. So biogas economics, biogas is a renewable energy, but biogas is totally different than wind. And to understand the economics, it's not all about generating electricity. That's probably the key message. If you look at how a biogas plant creates revenue streams, it's creating revenue streams by selling electricity, but it also creates thermal energy, actually more than it creates electrical energy, but that's technically determined. It can't be the other way around. We heard a little bit about the organic side, the stuff that you can put into a biogas plant. One of the revenue streams is getting tipping fees for this because you're treating environmentally sensitive, problematic materials. It is developing, the whole greenhouse gas credit issue is developing. So these greenhouse gas credits, that's a virtual product that you create, but there's a market out there that is buying and selling those kinds of things. So that's the kind of the revenue. And Shane told us the fertilizer at the back end of the process is more valuable than before. It's difficult to sell this to a farmer, but there are biogas plants operating in Europe that at least get a little bit of money for this additional value they create. So there's a multiple of revenue streams that make biogas work. I'm talking a little bit about biogas in Germany because I'm from Germany, and because Germany is the most successful country, if you look at numbers, that is doing this on a commercial, larger scale basis for about 15 to 20 years now. Just some of the numbers that should raise some attention, some of the revenue potentials for construction and operators. This chart has been released by the Biogas Association of Germany, and it's a billion-dollar market that we are talking here. So it should probably get a little bit more attention than it gets now. The amount of installed power is probably something to talk about. There's 430 megawatts in that chart, and behind those 430 megawatts, it's about 2,000 to 2,500 plants in Germany alone. So that's quite a huge amount. And if you look at the next chart, there's a map. For those of you who are familiar with the shape of Germany, that's a map of Germany, and all these little triangles, they represent the biogas plant. To understand the real challenge that we have in Alberta and southern Alberta with the economics, this is the supportive system we have in Germany, and the key of the biogas economics in Germany and almost all over Europe is that there is legislation in place that guarantees every biogas operation that the power will be fed into the grid and will be bought by the utility company for a certain price. There's a lot of misunderstanding of that legislation. That doesn't mean that the government is paying for that power, but it forces the utility, and of course the utility has a little higher cost with that, so at the end of the day, it ends up in the consumer price of electricity, where probably it should belong. So everybody is paying the green energy basically with the monthly bill you get. And if you look at the prices, the green or black prices, these are euro cents, and I converted them on an actual rate to Canadian dollars. And if you see those numbers, for example, for a plant, we are proposing in Lethbridge, which would be a 3,000 kilowatt plant. So we are looking for 12.1 Canadian. We would be looking for 12.1 cents for the kilowatt hour if we would be in Germany, and then there's an additional bonus if you use at least 50% of the heat you're creating. So a plant like this would be guaranteed for 20 years 14.8 cents Canadian for the kilowatt hours, and if you're familiar with the power market in Alberta, we are really lucky if we get half of that out of the power pool. So that shows a little bit the challenge we really have here to make these things work, and that goes back in the next chart, it goes back to what I was talking about, the different revenue streams to make a biogas project in this area really work economically, is that you really have to access all those revenue streams. And I mean, we have the average power pool price in Alberta is about 6 cents. There's talk about a federal power production, renewable power production incentive of another cent that has been in the old Liberal budget. I haven't heard anything about the new Conservative budget, if it's still in there or not. The thermal energy, basically the benchmark for the price is the price for natural gas. So that the increase last year and the general increase in prices are helping a little bit. And the whole greenhouse gas credits is something that is still out in the government is still working on rules and regulations, so that's still difficult to access. Bottom line for biogas projects in the province is that you have to use organic material that creates or that has the highest gas potential, not only manure but other stuff to mix it, to make really a facility that at least creates or generates 2 to 3 megawatts of electric power. You can have, you can work with those 5 to 6 cents in your business model. That is actually the average price right now. But you have to use the thermal energy and you have to get tipping fees for a portion of that waste stream. Otherwise, it's just not feasible in this today economic environment. Just the last slide that shows you a little bit what's going on. There's really only 2 projects right now that you could visit, and there's a big, for those of you who are interested, there's a big biogas conference, the first one in Alberta, coming up at the first weekend of April. There are still spots to registrate, so if somebody's interested, I have some, can give you some numbers and names. But this conference is touring the 2 facilities. One is on a Hutterite colony, a little one, 350 kilowatt generator. No, that's not a picture of it. But the other one is a little bigger. It's a 1 megawatt facility that is strictly working on feedlot manure. And that's at Vegreville. It's operating for about a year now. And then we are working on a couple of projects in Lethbridge. We are working a little bit on a project in Red Deer and in Beaver County, similar to what we are doing here. And we hope that one of those plants will be in operation at the end of 2007 at the latest. So that's about what you can find in biogas in southern Alberta. Thank you. This last slide, that, I mean, Thane is here so he could deliver his message by his own, but if you read this, it really sounds easy, and it sounds it all makes sense to do this, but I can tell you from the daily hours we are spending into this, it's much harder and much more work than it just sounds like here. So it's just not taking all the stuff and mix it and capture the gas and generate, and it's all fine. It takes a little more to really come through with this.
Thank you, Thane and Stefan. Now it's time to digest our meal.